like last Sunday, I'm not going to keep you long. I don't think I kept you long last Sunday. But amen. Did we not have a good time with the Lord last Sunday? Amen. Did we not? Did we not have a good time with the Lord on this past Wednesday? Look, that's right. There's only eight of us. Amen. But we had a blessed time with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No matter. And it doesn't matter to me. It can be 2 or 20 or 20,000.
That's right.
Amen. I just praise the Lord.
That's right.
Because like I said, at the end of the day, I'm only going to stand before one. And that's God the Father. Matter of fact, I take that back. That'll be Jesus.
Yes,
because the Father has committed all judgment into the hand of His Son.
Yes.
And so I will stand before Him. And matter of fact, we'll all, whether sinner or saved, will stand before the Lord.
Yes.
And answer that one question. What did you do with my son? All right, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm just going to ask that you all stand and turn with me, if you will, to a very, very, very familiar piece of scripture, John 3:16.
Amen.
John 3:16. There's a lot in this one verse, and I was saying to myself, I could break this up and preach it for 3 Sundays.
All right.
But I'm not going to do that to you.
All right.
Amen. Now, if you can't find John 3:16, you really do need to make your way to Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. John 3:16. Not only the Sunday school, but we have Bible study.
Yeah.
We're going to be kind of getting missed.
Amen.
But we will have Bible study this Wednesday and the following Wednesday. Amen.
Amen.
And so, if, like I say, if you can't find John 3:16, that's Sunday school and Bible study. I believe it at that. All of you who have your Bibles, wave them in the air. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Can't tell the players without a program. And it reads on this wise, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So just for a few moments of your time, I just want to talk from the idea of the subject, I don't know why. Of all hearts and minds are one. Dear most gracious and merciful Father, we come to you once again asking, Father God, that you would open our ears, open our hearts to receive that which you have for us this day. Lord, I come right now asking that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit. I would ask, Father God, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. My prayer is that the words that I would speak would not be of myself, but they would be of you.
Yes.
And that they would do the things that you have purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, but yet others still to come into a saving knowledge of you.
Yes.
My prayer is, Father God, that as we stand here, as we listen to your word, that we will find a lodging place in our heart, that it would produce fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Lord, let it hit home. Let it move us to do that which, Lord, we were slowful to do. But Lord, your word has a way of quickening our spirit.
Yes.
And making us do those things that we should do. So now, Father God, these and all other things, we do ask and do pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know why. The scripture that we'll peruse today in this narrative that was written by John. And this is John the Apostle, John the Beloved. He has written this gospel to the church. And it just seems interesting to me that the scriptures were written to the church. But everybody knows our book. Amen. People will not even say, read our book.
That's right.
It's not even written to them. It's like reading a letter written to somebody else. But yet and still, that's the whole idea and purpose, isn't it?
Amen.
Is that those who are unsaved might read something or hear something or see someone and be made the better after having met you. Don't you realize that for some people, the only Bible that they will ever come into contact with is you? And so it just seems to me that we would want to spend some time in that word.
Amen.
Know that word.
Yes.
At least know the reason why it is that you believe what it is that you believe. At least for the hope that resides within you. Here John takes the time to write about an incident that occurred between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now this fellow Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now we talk kind of bad about the Pharisees, but at the end of the day, Pharisees were basically the keepers of the oracles of God.
Yes.
They were the teachers of the Word of God. And before, matter of fact, all the scriptures that Jesus quotes that we find in the New Testament are all basically Old Testament scriptures. And these teachers, these rabbis, these Pharisees, primarily the Pharisees and the scribes.
Scribes, yes, sir.
But and then sometimes the Sadducees, but most of those guys were political guys.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was the job of the Pharisee, the job of the scribe,
yeah,
to tell the people what the words of God were.
Amen.
And so here we have this one Pharisee that comes to see Jesus in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And he comes to him at night, you know, for the same reason why some of us used to sneak around. I said used to. Used to sneak around in the middle of the night. Because you didn't want to be seen necessarily
right.
at where it was that you was going to. And then if you were seen, you were seen by people who were doing the same thing as you. So, not that your secret would necessarily be kept, but, you know, if they had dirt on you, you had dirt on them. And so here is Nicodemus sneaking out at night, and he shows up at where it is that Jesus is. And he has this conversation with Jesus, and his life is changed because of the conversation that he has with Jesus. He finds himself in this conversation with Jesus, and really, he's talking about going from darkness into the marvelous light. He finds himself talking about how a man might be saved even before Jesus has died and risen again. He's having this conversation, but he gets the conversation to a degree. Because when he first shows up where Jesus is, he shows up and he gives him, I won't say a side-eyed compliment, but he gives him a compliment.
Right.
He says to Jesus, I know that you're a man of God because no one other than a man of God could do the things that you do.
Yes, yes.
But you see, you understand that Nicodemus only was looking from his own perspective. He didn't have the greater perspective of who Jesus was.
Yes.
See, he's talking to the Creator.
Right.
He's talking to He who has always been,
yes,
never had a beginning, and will never have an end.
Amen.
He is sitting down and talking to God incarnate.
Amen.
But he don't get it. He don't see it. And the Bible says that oftentimes we have entertained angels unawares.
That's right.
You better be careful who you talking to. Because you don't know who you talking to oftentimes. You better be careful with the homeless cat, because the homeless cat might be an angel.
Right.
You better be careful who you wrestling with, because you might be like Jacob. Wrestling with God, don't know who you wrestling with. Then he said, let me go. I won't let you go until you bless me. Be careful who you wrestle with. Be careful who you find on the street, because you don't know who it is on the street, who it is that you're talking to. You'll find yourself just like old Nicodemus. You talking to Jesus, the Messiah, God incarnate. Can I make it simple? The guy who made all the heavens and the earth, in whom all power resides, and you just have the nerve to sneak up on him in the middle of the night. Don't want nobody. Matter of fact, it sounds like some folk prayer life, right? I'm going to wait till it get dark. I'm going to sneak up on the side of my bed. I'm going to pray real low. Because, you know, God can hear you.
Amen.
Even if you pray real low. But I don't want nobody to know I'm praying. But this is the master of the universe. And here it is, Nicodemus runs up on him. I won't say runs up on him, but he comes into his presence, not really realizing whose presence that he's in.
Amen.
And while he's in the presence of Jesus, Jesus begins to open up to him the scriptures that he himself is supposed to be opening up to the others.
Right.
Those who don't know. But here's one who knows, and then he gives him a gentle rebuke.
Yes, he does.
Because then he turns around and he says, how is it that you, a teacher of Israel. Now notice the term Israel. He wasn't just talking about a certain individual. He was talking about the whole nation of people.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
How is it that you, a teacher of the nation of Israel, and you don't know this? And so, depending upon what commentary you read, who you believe, Jesus here in the third chapter and the 16th verse, or John himself, makes the statement that God so loves the world.
Yes, amen.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
That whomsoever believes in him shall have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
We know that at some point in time, Nicodemus' heart is changed, because we find that in the 7th chapter, he makes a defense of Jesus before the other Pharisees.
Yes, he does.
And he's rebuked by them.
Right.
We also find in John, after Jesus has been crucified and he is dead upon the cross, he and John of Arimathea take him down from the cross.
Yes, right.
They wrap him in grave clothes and place him in the tomb that John had bought for himself. But that's okay, even though they didn't know that it was only going to be borrowed for a little while. It's the fact that a Pharisee and a non-Jew take Jesus down from the cross and place him in a tomb. And the most interesting thing I kind of find about that is this, is that Nicodemus had to know that others knew that he believed. Because as a Jew, you ain't got no business touching the dead.
Right.
Because if you touch the dead, then that means you can't go to church that Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Saturday. You can't go to church because you are unclean.
Right.
And you could not enter back into the temple until you were clean. He does this even though that it would make him ceremoniously unclean.
Amen.
But yet and still, Nicodemus the Pharisee moved beyond just being the teacher.
Yes, he did.
To being a believer.
Amen. Right.
And so here, if you leave with this thought, this idea, I don't know why God loves us so.
Yes.
But I thank God that God loves.
Yes.
First of all, God loves us.
Yes.
Tells us that God so loved the world.
Yes.
Now, I don't know why God loves the world. Truth be told, I don't love the world. I'm human. But God loves the world. And notice, his love is not predicated upon the fact whether you're saved or unsaved.
Well,
he loves the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have just been speaking hyperbolically.
Y'all like that?
Yeah.
I paid good money for that word.
Oh, amen. Right on.
He could have been speaking metonymically. That's a good 50 cent word. Just basically means that he was talking about the people and not the world. But even if he was talking about the world and the order of the world, because that word world is the word cosmos. Cosmos means, and that's where we get our word cosmos.
Yeah.
from? The universe. You didn't realize that when Adam messed up, he didn't just mess up the earth. He messed up the universe.
Good teaching.
Wow.
Amen.
But even, like I said, I ain't got the control of the universe. But God does. And yet and still, he loves us. Even though we done messed up the universe. I don't know how you feel, but you know that oftentimes when my kids were growing up, they would get their hands on things that they have no business putting their hands on. And then something that you had spent maybe, I don't know, hours on fixing. You ever play, you ever put together them 1,000-piece puzzles? And it might take you some days to, you know, and you don't, and it's one of those puzzles, you don't want nobody touching it.
Right?
You have it on a card table when you ain't playing cards. I'm not even gonna go there with y'all because y'all act like y'all don't play cards. Put your 1,000-piece puzzle together on your card table, and as you're putting it together, you tell them rascals, don't touch this. You have more than halfway into it. And one of them rascals come along and they said, well, they're gonna help you while you're not there. And they just, danger, Will Robinson, danger. They putting pieces where pieces don't belong, taking stuff apart, losing your pieces. And then when you get there, you like, what happened to my puzzle? It's the same thing with Adam. When Adam messed up, God comes back and says, man, what you do? You done made all the pieces all messed up because you wouldn't obey. Here, God so loves us, but then he loves us in three different ways. And if you're taking notes, these are sub-notes. So your first note was that God loves us. But one of your sub-notes would be God loves us unconditionally. Notice, God so loved the world.
Amen.
There are no conditions on that. There are no preconditions on that. There are no post-conditions on that. He loves us unconditionally.
Yes.
That is why the Bible says that he is married to the sinner. But I'm saved. Ain't he supposed to love me more? No. He doesn't love you any more or any less. God doesn't have any favorites. He does have familiars. The more you read his word, the more you pray unto him, the more you show up in the places you need to show up, like Sunday school and Bible study, then you begin all of a sudden to learn to love him the way that he loves you. And you realize that I will never be able to love him as much as he loves me. Why? Because the truth be told, most of our love comes with preconditions. I can't love you unless you look like me. I can't love you unless you act like me. I can't love you unless you got a car and a house and some means of support. Amen. Say amen. I mean, when y'all was out looking for husbands and wives, you weren't looking for the poorest thing you could find. Maybe you found that. I don't know.
I'm going to move on.
I want you to come back. There are no preconditions on the love of God. There are no post conditions. In other words, he didn't stop loving you because you mess up. He didn't stop loving you because you went to prison. He didn't stop loving you because you hurt or killed somebody. He didn't stop loving you because you messed up. His love for you is continuous. Irrespective of what you do, in spite of what you do, he still loves you. We got people who will cut you loose at the drop of a hat.
Drop.
Well, what kills me is when people say things like, well, I used to love them. Well, what happened? Well, they did this. And? Well, that was enough, wasn't it? Imagine if God took that same stance with us.
No hope.
love them. But because that I don't love them anymore, I've cast them into hell. His love is unconditional, but then his love is eternal.
Amen.
He don't ever stop loving you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you eternally. He never stops loving you. He always loves you. He always in the past loved you. He loves you right here and right now. Even in the midst of your madness, he still loves you. And he will love you and continue to love you into the future and beyond. Yeah. He loves you eternally. It is a love that never gives up on you.
Never.
It's a love that never writes you off. It's a love that still loves you in spite of you. Even when you don't love you, he loves you. God's love for us is unconditional. It is eternal, but then it is immutable.
Yeah.
Another 50 cent word, all it means that it does not change.
Never.
His love from you is not hot and cold. You know, just having, you have an argument with your significant other. I'm just throwing out significant other so that way I can hit all the people that's dating. You and your significant other, your marriage, your house, your spouse, right? Y'all fall out, right? Something might change. Amen. You know, I ain't talking to nobody in here working on your fourth or fifth marriage. I don't know. We got serial monogamous out. But the point is that his love for you doesn't change. He loves you. He continues to love you. He will never stop loving you. His love is continuous. It is without ceasing. Not only is it without conditions, and not only is it eternal, it is immutable. But for me personally, John 3:16 is the reason for the hope that resides within you.
Amen.
It is that same hope that Peter tells us that we should have when every man asks me, why is it that you believe? I believe because he loves me. And you know what? It may not mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me, especially when I realize that his love for me was, he loved me even before I was me.
Yes.
He loved me while I was at my worst, and in my worst, he still loves me.
Yes.
He loves me in spite of all that he knows about me and knows that what I will do in the future, and yet and still, he loves me. How can I not help but love someone who loves me in spite of me?
That's right.
I don't know why God loves us, but then again, I don't know why God even gives.
Yeah.
God gives us his only begotten Son.
Yes,
God gives us Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That word begotten, if you look at it in the original language, it is the word monogenes, which means that he is unique.
Yes.
There is nothing else like Jesus Christ. Not only is he the monogenes, the monogenes, which means essentially that he is the same essence as God, the Father. Matter of fact, that's the reason why Jesus says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference between me and the Father, except you can see me and you cannot see the Father. That word monogenes means that he stands with God face to face.
Yes, sir.
That means that he is continuously in his presence.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but God has told us on more than one occasion, no man can stand before him and live. Even Moses, who the Bible says was a friend of God. I mean, he ain't got many friends. And the one friend he does have, he loved him so much, he said, look, you can't look on me and live. So let me do this for you, Moses, because you asked to see me and I'm feeling gracious. I can't let you see me. But what I'll do is I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to put my hand on the front of it. I'm going to run by real quick. After I pass by, I'm going to move my hand.
Man.
And then you can see my glory.
My God.
God puts him in the cleft of rock, puts his hand over, runs by real quick, moves his head. Moses looks out. All of a sudden, everything began to glow. He was glowing so bad that when he come off the face of the mountain, the people said, "We can't stand to look on you." Just the reflection of God had them hiding themselves from Moses. They said Moses had to cover himself so he could be in the presence of other people. Man, wouldn't that be something? God gives us the monogenes. He gives us the way. He explains to Nicodemus, "I am the way." He explains to Nicodemus what is the truth, that no man can come to the Father except through me. He explains to him that God has given all of himself. You see, God bankrupts heaven so that we might be saved. God sends God to die for us. And I know us. Well, I know me. And I don't think you too much different from me.
No.
Unless you're one of them angels that's hanging out unaware. But if you're human, you raggedy. I may not know all of your raggediness, but I know you raggedy. I know that you're a sinner saved by only grace. Because I'm a sinner saved only by grace. I know that even at your best, you were still raggedy. Now, I could use a whole lot of other terms, but I'm going to be nice and Christian today and just say raggedy. I must be in a Baptist church. The people talking back. But the Father gives the Son, and the Son gives his life. And the Son gives his life not because we all that great or we all that wonderful, but he gives his life, and I don't know why.
The only way.
Other than God loves us. That makes sense, because wouldn't none of y'all give your life for me?
No.
There are only two people in here who I would, well, okay, maybe for the rest of y'all. And if I go, I ain't going by myself. But he dies for us. And no matter how much I hammer this home, because the truth of the matter is that you know you. I can run all these different scenarios out there, but you know you. You know what you've done, and you knew what you should not have done. Some of that stuff you living with today. God has forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven you. And that's why you still beating yourself up about it. Matter of fact, some of y'all haven't been back home since the incident occurred. Because you don't want to see people's faces. And you don't want other people to see your face. Because it'll bring back to them, "Hey, wasn't you the one who?" But the wonderful thing about God's love is that he says, "You are the one who, but I love you anyway." We make a big thing about a mother's love. You know, your mother, your mama love you no matter what you do. Don't y'all say yeah, because that ain't always the truth. Some people mama done kicked them straight to the curb. Done sent them out and told them, "Don't ever darken my door again." But God, but God will never call the police on you. God ain't gonna let you. He may let you sleep out in the yard. That's Nebuchadnezzar. He may let you go through some things in life that you don't necessarily have had to go through. but you had to go through so that you might realize how much he loves you.
Amen.
When no one else would restore you, he will. When no one else will take you up out of the miry clay, dust you off, clean you off, and send you on your way, God does it all the time. And for some of you, multiple times. I don't know why God loves us. I don't know why he gave his son, but I do know that God redeems the believer.
Hallelujah.
Whosoever believes in him will not perish. But it is the believer who will not perish. The unbeliever will perish. Now, I can't even give the unbeliever hope in this. Because that word perish doesn't mean annihilate.
No.
It means that you're going to go to a place that is everlasting. Where the worm dieth not. Where you will be tortured throughout eternity. And it is called hell. Some years ago, somebody thought of a heresy. Not even years ago. This is an old heresy. That you would not be in hell forever. But that you would go to hell. And that at some point, it would be annihilated. That you would cease to be. That your thought processes would stop. And that would be it. But there is nothing in the Bible that says that hell is ever destroyed.
That's theoretical.
It is tossed into the lake of fire.
Yes.
But it is not destroyed.
No.
In the lake of fire.
Still there.
You still in hell. Except now it's a lot hotter.
Suffering more.
Your situation went from bad to worse. I don't know, from worse to worser.
First to worst.
The unsaved cannot hope for annihilation.
Ungodly.
The ungodly cannot hope for judgment without separation for eternity.
Amen. Amen. Justice.
Those who believe and receive, Jesus gives them this promise. He gives them the promise of everlasting life. He promises that he will redeem the world. That means all of the world that cares to be redeemed, he will redeem. But don't you know that there are some people who will not be redeemed?
Right.
They will make a knowingly, willingly decision to go to hell.
Consciously.
And some of them have the foolishness to believe that they will be happy in hell.
Yes. And what they say?
Because all their friends are there.
Come on now.
I'm over there.
Come on.
God redeems the world, but God redeems the righteous, but God will not redeem the unrighteous.
Yep.
I'm going to say this and then I'm done. There's a songwriter, and the songwriter has said this. I don't know why Jesus loves me.
Yes.
I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. But I'm glad, so glad he did.
Amen.
He left his mighty throne in glory and brought us redemption story. He died and he rose again. But I'm glad. So glad he did.
Yes, amen.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me?
Yes.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Amen. Where would I be if Jesus did not sacrifice his life? But I'm glad,
so glad,
that he did.
Yes.
The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. John 3:16 is truly just the summary of the gospel.
Yes.
God loves us